Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. I hope everyone had a great week. Yep, and I hope you all have a better one coming up ahead. And we're leading into the holiday now, so this is what we want. Good days. Pleasant days, anyway. Hello, Laurent, and welcome to the party.
Okay. Merci, Jean Marie. Merci. How are you tonight?
If I was any better, I'd be twins. That's
you
just
keep
the way
telling
it is.
Me that, but I never met the other one, have I? You gotta stop hiding her. You can't hide her that way.
Yeah. Some things are best left.
Well, maybe I'd take her out on a date. Is that it? You're hiding her because you think I might take her out, huh?
She's a crazy girl, that one there. Oh, my goodness.
That's what I've heard.
it's been a good week so far. Good shows, lots of them, and yeah, I think that we have a really good board tonight. It's pretty full, which surprisingly is true. And I think I have like 11 SoundClouds or audios, I should say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, pretty close to 11, maybe 10 or not. But yeah, so we got like a lot of stuff happening. Lots and lots of stuff. And we have 3 callers on the line already, too. Pretty amazing.
Well, let's bring them on.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should. First off, we have Pam Ray. Hello, Pam. How are you?
Hi, Jean. Hi, Lauren. How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad, Pam.
Good. Good. Do you ever wonder, like, if somebody is actually a twin, if they say, if I was any better, I'd be triplets?
Maybe. They may very well. I'm telling you, I heard that a long time ago. I heard that comment a long time ago. And it really did stick with me because my mother really did always say to me, you know, you should have been twins. And I never could figure, she could barely tolerate me. I don't know what the heck she ever said that for. But I always thought it was pretty funny. So when I heard someone say, if I was any better, I'd be twins, I went, oh, my God, I think I have to use that. Yeah.
Yeah, what would triplets say?
It would just keep going and going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now here we go. I'm going to pick up Wayne. Hello, Wayne. How are you tonight?
Fine. Been running like crazy, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, John.
Well,
that
running is good for you. Yeah. Good to have you. How's it going? Wayne.
What?
I said, how's it going?
Oh, mine's been pretty good. I'm trying to get Christmas behind me, so I've been shopping 3 out of 4 nights. And I got to go back in the morning, so hopefully get it done by tomorrow and take it easy after that. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, I got to say, you used to have to go out and drive miles and miles and compete with crowds. Now you do it with your computer. It can't be that
difficult. Yeah. I got kids that want to go shopping. They just want to go out there and go shop, so I take them with me, and they go out there and have a blast out there running around looking at stuff. I don't do much on the computer.
Okay. Cool.
I do tennis shoes on the computer, but other than I've been out shopping. You know, worries me out too. I don't like to shop.
Not this time. Yeah, not many times in COVID.
Absolutely.
Okay, who else is waiting?
The hour. And last but not least, we have Kel on board. So hello, Kel. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hi. I'm doing great. How are you?
Any Hi, Lauren. Better are you? Twin?
I heard that.
That's a standard answer for me. Can't help it.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it true what they say about twins? When you marry one, you marry the other?
I wouldn't know. I've never been married to one.
I think that only counts for Chinese twins.
Oh. Now we're getting into a real kettle of fish.
No, I think
well, shoot, there was the original Siamese twins, the two brothers, or I shouldn't say they're original, but the ones that came to be known by, they had something like 18 children between the two of them. Like they married two separate women and had 18 children total.
And wasn't each of them married to a different woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were.
Well, maybe they're trying to tell us something.
I don't know. I think we're going to leave that conversation alone. That's crazy.
Okay, you're right.
Because that conversation can go all kinds of crazy places.
You're right. Especially, you know, if we all start knocking our crazy heads together, you just never know, so...
I don't know, just all the things that came into my head to say were like, maybe not a good thing.
Yeah, but it could be our highest rated show ever, you know.
Well, you know, that could be too, but, you know, I don't want to get ratings like that. Anyhow, Laurent, I'm going to put up this this classic poem and let you get started. So here we go.
All right. I looked hard for a poet I'd never heard of before. So we have Samuel Laycock, who is the Yorkshireman best remembered as one of the greatest and most influential of Lancashire poets. This is called John Cridgeley Prince Memorial. Farewell, thou gifted singer. Thy sweet songs have charmed the ears of thousands in our land. Now thou art gone. We feel that we have lost one of the greatest of the gifted band. Though thou art dead, thy honored name shall live for ages yet to come, and thy pure lays be read and prized by myriads yet unborn. And in their hearts thy songs shall find a place. His like, again, alas, we may not see. Few living bards have sung so well as he. End poem. And the reason I picked it is that it struck me as interesting how we laud our dead musicians and writers today and how they did in the past as well. So, and it was short.
And it was short. That's the way I pick things.
It's not that complex a poem, but Pam, what did you think?
You know, sometimes some of the most beautiful and memorable poems, you know, are written in simple language. I would also take into account that this was a memorial to an actual other poet, John Cridgeley Prince. And you know, given that most people aren't going to do a memorial, you know, overly complex fours or and have.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I knew it was not a complex poem. I just thought it was interesting. How did they memorialize artists in the past as opposed to today? And it's not very different, is it?
No, it really isn't. It really isn't. There are some things that just still stay the same. You want to say something nice about the person. You want to say something beautiful about the person. You want to honor their memory. And I think this poem does that in a beautiful and simple way and with elegant language, like, though thou art dead, thy honored name shall live. That is just beautifully said and very well done.
Yeah, nowadays they say, hey, that dude will live forever. A little bit different.
Absolutely. If nothing else, you'll live forever on Fill My Eyes with Poetry. And
oh,
Lauren.
Gosh.
Wayne, you got any words for us?
Yeah, I think Sam did a good job of a tribute to John. It sounded like he knows him pretty well. He said he had a charm to ears of thousands in our land. But he did a good job, did the dedication to him. And I think they probably knew each other. It's a very good point, very good brevity. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, here's hoping that John Cridgeley Prince was not a real a-hole, you know. Cal, how about you, dear? Either Cal has not heard me, or she's on mute. Or she's searching for her twin. I don't know.
Because everybody
well,
Jane, has a
you better
like
take it away, dear.
Sure. Hey, welcome aboard, Thomas.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Good to have you.
Hey, Thomas.
Good to have you.
Hello, Lauren.
And hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Naomi.
Yes.
Good evening, everybody.
Hope you're all having a good evening. Let me see. Well, I'm rolling down this. I guess I'm just going to start at the top. This seems like the best way to go. Wayne, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Well, I'll do my best I can, I reckon. See what it is.
That'll be good.
This is by Jack Tomovich. It's called What? It goes like this. What profit a man, he wins the whole world, but loses his immortal soul? Is he out to step? Has he already treaded too snugly upon moccasins of mirth? If he set a seal upon his head, but it only barks for fish, then what have we lost? My soul needs to know I'm still not a baker. And if I am a fisher of men, Jesus is pissed. The Maxwell's silver hammer slammed down on his head, the Beatles are still dead. If a terrapin and a bowling pin have a fling, the kids can't bowl or swim. You're between Iraq and a hard place, you're in the Middle East. And if you can't claim what you want, you buy the shoes, the stones, tickets, those stone tickets. Ian?
I swear, the word clever was invented for writing like this. What a wonderful compendium. Oh, this is excellent. Kel, are you with us? Yes or no? Certainly not. Pam, I'll start us off, please.
Oh, absolutely. This is just wonderfully clever. Brought a smile to my face. I really love the playing with words all the way through. You know, a great sense of humor. I like the reference to if Maxwell Silverhammer slams down on said head, the Beatles are still dead, and if a terrapin and a bowling pin have a fling, the kids can't bowl or swim. This is a classic dad joke put into poetry. It's just absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Pam. I agree. I mean, any one of these is just really, and it's not just the wordplay. There's more to it than that. It's the place, it's the thing, it's the topical references. And if you can't sling what you want, you didn't buy those stones tickets. That's great stuff. Thomas, please.
It's my son would groan. Okay? He would look at me and go, "Dad." And it'd be all pungent punishment. Of course, my son's also the person who kept telling us he'd never do puns. And then one day he sat there and ran through about six of them and then goes, "And I still hate them." So, you
oh,
know,
wow.
All he did was figure out a way to abuse this and maintain his righteousness, you know. This is just classic in so many ways. And so richly fitting for someone who is a social studies teacher.
Amen.
Yeah.
This would not have been out of place if I can reference Reader's Digest to some of their comedy. That this would have fit in perfectly
mm-hmm.
there. Naomi, s'il vous plaît.
Oh yes, this is such an amazing, brilliant, clever, witty play with words like soul, and the way he used, you know, the words all through dough and the dough you use for cooking. And, this is just so brilliantly written. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Indeed. And Wayne, you read that well. What did you think?
Well, I said this is a humorous poem that has maybe a deeper meaning. If you set a seal upon my head, but it only barks for fish, then what have we lost? Good question. Very enjoyable poem. Jack, you did it again. I love it. Very clever. Great job.
Thank you, my friend. You're right. That one is a little bit deeper than the others, perhaps. And, Jean, that brings me back to you.
Okay, well, Jack, I think this is a great piece, a lot of great wordplay throughout, you know, a lot of fun lines. Well, yeah, a little bitty ones, but it's a good job. Nice, and thanks for sharing with us. Okay. And Kel, are you back yet? Sam, I'm going to put the next one up for you then. So here we go. Pam, are you here?
I am. I'm sorry. I just must have missed you saying my name. All right. Right? All right. This is A Coiled Snake by Sapphire Rose. And it goes like this. She recoils after striking like a snake underfoot, her visceral tongue sharp, cutting you down word for word in a sweet, unrelenting form, her bite poisonous, a permanent solution to vindictive verbal dross. Your fate sealed, retaliation, mine, and poem.
Nice, Pam, nice. Yeah, nothing cuts like a sharp tongue, not even a sharp sword. Okay, let's start from the bottom up. Naomi, please.
Yeah, this is a great write and empowerment and, you know, verbal abuse, I think. And just, you know, striking out when you're striked at. And, yeah, just like, you know, right in your face and getting even there and just talking back. And not letting any, putting up with any, well, I'd say shit there, but anyway, but putting up with any, you know, abuse at all. And just, you know, yeah, this is an amazing right here by Sapphire. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Thomas, please.
I just makes me think of the people I know who take great delight in being able to, you know, score, get a point on you, cut you to little pieces. I got really good at that when I was a freshman in college and came home, and a friend of one of my friends was this really great young lady, and she was easy to pick on, and I went at her and reduced her to tears, and suddenly felt about, you know, quarter of an inch tall. And I've never I've never been one of those people with a sharp tongue since then, because I've always remembered the amount of hurt you can cause, and this just so thoroughly reminds me of somebody who had that kind of sharp tongue, the kind that in the end you just sort of hope that somebody strikes them down in a way that makes them aware of the fact that maybe they don't want to do that.
Well, let's just hope that doesn't go in your permanent ledger, okay? Wayne, please.
Yes, a snake might be a good description of a lady scorned. I've called them worse. They can cut you down to size or leave in, so you better beware. It's a great little poem, and long live the strong-willed woman. That's all I got to say. Great poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And Uncle Pam, who I think probably could have a sharp tongue if she wanted.
Did you say my name?
I did.
I said not all Pam.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was a strong brevity. The part where she says, a permanent solution to vindictive verbal dross, very much reminds me of how my step-youth sister used to say to anybody who started shit with her, I refuse to have a battle of person. And that's what this reminds me of. And the whole idea of somebody with a very sharp tongue, but a very sharp tongue that silences people quickly. Just really an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, Sapphire, I think this was a very well-written brevity. It was very well expressed. And great work. So thanks for sharing with us again. Let's see. Thomas, I have the next piece up for you. If you do.
Okay. I think this hit the right buttons.
Right.
Life, Storm in a Paper Boat by Robert Pilecki. Storm is brewing, the night sky as black as witch's Sabbath, the moon in dark clouds churns grimly. A mercury flash, paint silver by the thunderhead, cast down shivers of light with a ghostly glow. Underneath the moon, the rain moves forward like a wrath's veil of sorrow. Be ready. The sea is troubled. Boat begrimmed, marred, row hard indoor, paddling your boat alone. Winnowing wind ferments, ripples the surface of the calm sea. Boat heaves and tosses in the rising swell. The rain shroud passes, spitting undead torments. Thunderclap booms out, a straight from Wagner's opera. Leaves the concussed still. The sea goes tomb silent. Dead calm before hell breaks loose. It's here now. The rising wind rasps, scrapes the sails, makes them flap jaggedly, kink lightning, bolts from the sky, fizzles with a golden sheen, a hissing sound, rolls across the arch of heaven, tumbled out like the rocky echo of a cavern. A monster's cough bellows in the sky, like all the hunting hound of hell unleashed. War trumpets follow in their wake, flaring out like the clarion call of the condemned. The rain whips down like crystal nails. The tempest of pastoral. Streaky lightning emblazes the sky. Lacerating rain stings like the ice burns. Sea throbbing gray with woe, the brine hisses and hisses. The wind screams like a banshee's wail, whips at the face, howling out the doom. The Flying Dutchman on the judgment day for anyone daring to brave the life storm in a paper boat. And poem.
Great read, Thomas. Thank you for that. I like this approach to life in a paper boat. Sometimes it's exactly what we feel like. He really paints a vivid picture here, the storm brought to life by a skilled pen. Tossing the reader hither and yon. I really like this piece. Nice, yeah, nicely done. Wayne, may we start with you, please?
Yes. From the moment he said a storm was brewing, the action started in this poem, and it went all the way through, never gave it a break at all. It just kept pounding. He did a great job with the description of this poem. Had a lot of action in it, and great descriptions. I think it's a great poem. I read it once before, and I thought it was good then, too, but it's the second time around, he read it so well, it's better this time around, because he did a good job reading it. It's excellent. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wayne and Pam, please.
Yeah, I think this has wonderful imagery all the way. I really like how this has this extended metaphor of facing the storms of life in a paper boat. But there's kind of almost this like kind of a spiritual element, especially as you get near the end, there's a flying. And I really like the imagery intriguing that says in the beginning, where did it say that? Something about mercury. Now I can't find it. Oh, yeah, there it is. A mercury flush paint silver by the thunderheads cast down shivers of light with a ghostly glow. you know, the use of the word mercury makes me think of poison, of perhaps there's almost a feel of almost like the end times here. I also liked where she referenced, is it Wagner, I believe? Straight from Wagner's opera, Leave the Concussed Still. I mean, you can just hear the music echoing. It's really just a wonderful way to bring imagery and sound into the upright itself, and I think this is very well done.
Thank you, Ben. Great comment. And Naomi Subutsi.
Yeah, this is such a great philosophical write on life and its hardships. And there's amazing, amazing similes and metaphors in here. Like the rain whips down like crystal nails. And it's just so thrashing all through, you know, just like being in hell here. And being in the middle of some kind of nightmare, you know. And although it is dark, it is so, so brilliantly worded and written all throughout. This is just an amazing, amazing write, Robert. Just bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And that brings us to the reader. Tom, you did a great job of this. What did you think?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like the way he starts it, where he gives us sort of a prescient view of what's coming. And then we have that bleak moment where he speaks of the calm, you know, row hard, endure, paddling your boat alone, winnowing wind ferments, ripples the surface of the calm sea, which is not to be that way for long. It you know, I have a standing joke that life comes in rushes. And he does a great job of showing when the storm comes how it completely consumes everything and everyone in its visit, and that, you know, truly we sometimes do feel like the only way we're going to survive is somehow to hold it together in a paper boat on an ocean of madness, and he captures that really, really well. Very, very nicely done.
Thank you, Thomas. And Jean, what did you think?
Hey, Lauren, I'm back.
Who, is that Cal?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Cal, welcome back there.
Thank you.
All right, I'm not going to assume that you heard that last poem, but if you did and you want to comment.
I commented on it, but I'll just read that. Amazing operatic drama flooded thunderous writing. This was totally amazing. This is all the way through. Very well done.
Thank you, Cal. And now back to Jean. Hopefully back to Jean.
Yeah.
Prayerfully back to Jean.
Maybe.
Please.
Maybe. I think that this was an exceptional piece, great imagery, and a whole lot of excellent stanzas throughout this, you know, entire piece. So I really enjoyed it, and thank you so much, Robert, for sharing with us. Great work. That is for sure. Okay, and Naomi, that's going to bring me to you.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
This piece by Casey Day, I would appreciate it.
Hood Kitty. Oh, that's so cute, that picture. Hood Kitty by Casey Day. Hood kitties are good kitties. Got the pink beanies, sipping meow teenies. Don't like water, don't wear bikinis. They got tails that swish. They like that tuna fish. And if you think you're friends, girl, you ain't that fish. Hood kitties as good kitties. For real, for real. And tone.
You had the perfect tone when you read that, Naomi. That was very good. All right, let's start with our missing link. Cal, please.
Oh, I thought this was absolutely adorable. Oh, my gosh. Good kitties are good kitties. They got the pink beanies, and they like their tuna fish. Oh, my golly. It's just really cute.
Yeah, it was a great comment. I wonder if anybody wants to take up the challenge of wrote a rap about this cat and read it like a rap. I'm not going to, but you never know.
No, not me.
Pam, please. Come on, rap, baby, rap.
Oh, my goodness. No, I don't do raps like off the top of my head. Sorry. But I will say that cat to murder somebody.
Mm.
Yeah.
That look.
No, this is absolutely just an excellent write. It was great fun, great rhyme and flow. I really liked Girl, You Ain't That Fish. Good kitties are good kitties, for real. Just really excellent, very fun.
Thank you, Pam. And Wayne, please.
Oh, yeah, I love this poem. I just got back from the last poem I was reading. I had to run down and check out my cat. She's out back and the storm's coming. There are four full wheels out back of my house that live out back and live out on their own. So I got a backyard full of them. I am a cat man, so I love this poem and anything about cats I can enjoy. Good job.
Very cool. Thank you, Wayne. And Thomas, please.
Oh, this is just so much fun. I love sipping meow teas. Don't like water. Don't wear the teas. It just hit my funny bone dead center. It's got that really nice mixed sound of, and Naomi hit it just right, of kind of little kitty, a little kid, language, and at the same time, a really sharp adult vision of the madness of a cat. And just richly done all the way through. I was amazed in some ways at how beautifully she pulled this off. Just a great piece.
Great comment, Thomas. Thank you. And that brings us to Gene.
And I'm even here. That's even more amazing. I thought this was a fun piece. I thought you did a great job, and that was a great image. So, absolutely. Nice work, Lisa. Thank you. Absolutely. Okay, so the next one I have to put up is I'm going to put up a piece by Martha Gettle. And let me hit that button.
Let It Rain by Martha Gettle. Come on, go ahead and rain on my parade. We all gotta pay for mistakes made. Thoughts rattle around in my head. Try to hold me back, but I forge ahead. Everything seems to be against me now. I'm still fighting, though I don't know how. And just when I think it's working out right, along comes another battle for me to fight. So many vampires want a piece of my soul. It's amazing I managed to come out whole. They won't take me without a fight. I'll dig in my heels and hold on tight. I won't give in and let me lose. It's still my right for me to choose. They take our rights one by one and say rejoice for freedom under the sun. So many vampires want a piece of my soul. It's amazing I managed to come out whole. They won't take me without a fight. I'll dig in my heels and hold on tight. Come on, let it rain, I'm used to it. Let it pour, it hasn't drowned me yet. Yes, I'll fight them all one by one, and I'll be the winner before I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Martha.
Wow. I'm going to say I really like this one. I'm not that I don't like her others, but this has a different attitude. It's feisty. It's strong. I love the refrain. They won't take me without a fight. I'll dig in my heels and hold on tight. And then it's got a lot to say. This is a very nice piece. Let's see. Can we start with Thomas, please?
Oh, I totally agree with you, Laurent. I liked, where is that line? Oh, so many vampires want a piece of my soul. It's amazing I managed to come out whole. That just caught my funny bone. Because sometimes that's exactly the way it feels. And perhaps we don't pat ourselves on the back as often as we should for the miracles we create in surviving some of life's hassles. I like the sense of humor combined with the feeling of courage that resonates through this whole piece. That's different because it's not a love poem or a song about anything other than being willing to take on the world and make the best of it. And I think she did a great job letting us know all the way through that she was somebody who is not going to be held back or shoved aside. Very well done from the first line on.
Thanks, Thomas. You and I are in agreement. And Naomi, please.
Yeah, this is a very deep and powerful, right? Those vampires could be anything, you know, the problems, all the things that irritate you in society, all the badness, all the ugliness, you know, that exists there, all the problems that you daily, could be the daily problems that you had, have to deal with every day. It envelops quite a lot, this piece, and it makes you really think, you know. So a wonderful piece. Well done, Martha. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Well, Wayne, I know you've had to fight a few battles in your time. I can remember the patent fight, but what'd you think?
Oh, man. Oh, this right here is another wonderful poem from the singing grandma. I bet she's hiding around her house. I'd like to go visit her. The storyline is wonderful, and I love hearing her express herself. I like when she said, come on, let it rain. I'm used to it. Let it pour. It hasn't drowned me yet. It's a great line right there. It's great lyrics right there. So she did a wonderful job at this point. I like it.
Great comment, Wayne. Thank you. And Miss Pam.
Well, first of all, I really liked everybody's comments on. I have to agree. It's really a powerful write, and I like how she mentioned that they won't take me without a fight. I'll dig in my heels and hold on tight. I'd also like that she brings up the idea of vampires, as Naomi said, could represent anything or perhaps even anyone who drains your energy. And I think another important part of this is where she starts it out, where she says, come on, go ahead, rain on my parade. Because a lot of times it's parades, marches, things like that are ways that we peacefully protest or stand up for our rights. And I feel like she, right out of the gate, she sets the tone of being very, like, you know, setting a challenge. Like, come on, go ahead, rain on my parade. No matter what, I know I'm not, my voice isn't going to shut down. You know, my opinion isn't going to change. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to stand up for my right. So I think this is definitely a strong right and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And let's finish up with that other fighter, Cal.
I was just thinking, you go, girl. Hells yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, this is a very powerful poem. Don't take no shit. You know, just leave me the hell alone. Yeah. So many vampires want a piece of my soul. It's amazing I managed to come out whole. Damn bloodsuckers, you know, go away. You know, go away. She has a right to choose what she wants to do, and that's all there is to it. More power to her.
Dern tootin'. All right, back to our rootin' tootin' gene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was a well-penned piece there, Martha. And I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Absolutely. Great job. Okay. Laurent, I have the next one up for you, please.
This is called Upper Body by Daniel Descino. Of what gift is greater than thy own self? Of what tool is greater that man can then... Excuse me, I'm going to start again. Of what gift is greater than thine own self? Of what tool is greater that man can make than man? The surveyor of worlds, the reflector of music, the devourer of energy, the grasper of all within reach, unending input with unending processing, the pleasure of life at the whim of thought. Asleep are those who do not see the world before them, who only hear and do not listen, who touch but do not connect, and who do not seek to understand. Trapped are those who are a slave to passion, and cannot truly enjoy, who devour for greed and not to nourish or protect. And truly lost are those who absorb without contemplation, who answer without question, and who sense without wonder. The path for them is long forgotten. Of what greater connection to the stars than the stardust within? What greater power to wield than the atomic we are? What better for the spirit to steer with than the mind? And what greater vessel to journey to the eternal in than us? End poem. I got to say, this is one of those poems that fits into the timelessness of thought. It's a large poem, and it really encompasses the man beautifully. Because everything that he says in this thing is absolutely true. I can't argue with a single thing. I think this is a very worthy poem, a very strong poem, a very timeless poem. Let me start with Wayne, please.
This is a great poem. It's a poem about man, about good man's being. Man should open their eyes and have understanding and have purpose in life. They shouldn't go around and have sleep or be greedy. They need to see what the big picture is and be a part of being a man. And this is a great, great poem. And I enjoyed all of it. It's true. It's a good poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And Pam, please.
This is just beautiful and stunning. I mean, I really enjoy Daniel's poetry, especially the way there is such a philosophical tone to it. You know, to me, this is about self-discovery, but it's about the kind of self-discovery that happens when you realize that you have to look beyond yourself, that you have to look out there in the world. I especially like asleep are those who do not see the world before them, who only hear and do not listen, who touch but do not connect, and who do not seek to understand. There's a push to let people know that we have to be seekers. So just a wonderful bite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
Yeah, well, for those who are awake and have come to terms with the universe enough to see that they have choice in what they do and they can pick where they want to go, these words resonate because they speak to what they already know. But there seems to be far greater number of people who have been asleep since their birth. And when you speak about waking up and you speak about being in touch and you speak to all the things he speaks to, they look at you like, what? What? What are you talking about? Oh, come on. You're being ridiculous. That possible. And go back to sleep. The land of the lotus eaters. We seem to have done a wonderful job between our TVs and Instagram and everything else to entertain a large number of people and keep them sucking on the lotus blossoms so that they never quite wake up to what's going on around them. And I think he speaks to it rather well.
That was a great reference, the Lotus Eaters. Nice job. Okay, Naomi.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Pam said there. That was very well said, Pam. Nice comment. This is just a stunning write. So philosophical and so well worded and so deep and powerful all through. You know, it just talks about humankind and the way, you know, that the good, the bad, the ugly that's out there, and just to stop and take time to measure your consequences of your actions and to look beyond the end of your nose and look beyond to just what you see and stop and listen and, you know, take care of your the earth and take care of others. And, this is just an amazing right. Daniel just does such beautiful writing.
Thank you, Naomi. And Cal, please.
I was just thinking, wake up and realize that there's a world around you. There's so much more to life than who you are and who you want to be, and not everything is about you. It's just a very wonderful philosophical piece. And truly lost are those who absorb without contemplation, who answer without question, and who sense without wonder the path for them is long forgotten. This is a very eloquent and elegant piece. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much, Cal. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, this is a wonderful piece by Daniel. Quite an excellent write. And very much so, nice job, everybody. Okay, well, the next piece I have is fun. Okay, Wayne.
You're breaking up.
You're painting that a little bit there, Gene. This one line's called a Perfect Day. I thought I'd have a little fun this week instead of writing all the alliterations. I thought I'd have a little fun. It's called a Perfect Day. That's a walk on bright sunny days. Go out and feel the warm Pam rays. Look out across the valley where Robin flies. It feels so much better when I feel my eyes. Stroll down the creek is where I go. Always check to see how strong the current will flow. I love the sights. There's so much to see. If I don't go, it'll be all Naomi. In winter, I trek through the snow. Spring, I stop and pick a few poetic castles. Nature's so lovely and fairly complex. If I get tired, I will stop to rest. Spend my day watching how birds flew, chasing butterflies and captive bee-twos. Out there, I hear everything. It's peaceful and calm. I don't care if I feel a neutron bomb. In my canoe, drift downstream slow. If I get off track, I grab an oar and Simply Joe. Vacations are nice, so I go where those old haters, Cajun country, hanging out with Afghanistan haters. Nothing's better than the nights, I know it. Look up in the sky for a late night poet.
Well, God bless. God bless. Every now and then, one of us will crank out a poem in appreciation of everyone else. And this is one that is very nicely done. I like this. And thank you so much, Wayne, for what you do. Let's start with Pam, please.
I'm sorry, did you say my name?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, as always, I thought this was a wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how you pay tribute to so many wonderful poets. So I have heard some bad things about that Pam Ray, so, you know, I'd watch out for her. But no, I just think this is absolutely delightful. It put a smile on my face, and I'm really glad to read this. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, please.
It's delightful. I love some of the wordplay. I will stop to Rex. don't care if I feel a neutron bomb. It's clever, but at the same time, it's done with a gentleness and a love that just makes it delightful to hear.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. And Kel, please.
This was absolutely delightful. I loved how you used all your names. And wove it into this very beautiful landscape. It's just gorgeous. Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Very clever.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear. And Naomi?
Ah, this is so delightful. I love how you use and feel the warm PAM rays and then feel so much better when I fill my eyes. Fill my eyes. How you incorporated the names into Stop to Pick a few poetic Picassos. And I don't know if I don't go, it will all be Naomi. I'll stop you from going. Oh, I'll go along with you, Wayne. That picture is beautiful. We'll just stroll down that river, have a dip. This is just so beautiful, so great.
And back to Eugene. No, fill my eyes for the sake of this poem.
Well, Wayne, I have to say this is a nice piece, clever, funny. You missed too many of us, but definitely, that's for sure. I'm still finding people. And so it's Simply Joe floating around in here. Frank's in here. Good stuff. Nice job.
Thank you.
Honey. Thanks for putting it up for us. That was great.
Thank you.
Okay. Now where was it going? I didn't know. Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to go piece by piece. So here we go, everybody. It's music stuff.
Me dijo vencida, ella susurra, me rindo.
I have a new Budo favorite. I really like this one. It's it has a quality about it that, well, I first of all, I love the guitar work on this one. I thought it was well done. It's a great arrangement, great writing. He really brings the fire in this one, as far as I'm concerned. Very well done. Can we begin with Cal, please?
Well, I really wish I knew what the Spanish was, but it went so well that it doesn't really even matter. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. It's got a beautiful flow, and it's just really a wonderful piece.
Thank you, Cal. Sometimes the interesting part is not knowing. It's applying your own meanings. Wayne, please. Is Wayne still with us?
He's left. Okay. He's left.
Yeah, he's left.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thomas, please.
This has been kind of fun, actually, because I've been listening to Budo, you know, show up on show after show, and his composition, verbal, you know, the lyrics and stuff, are always fascinating and well done. But it's been neat to watch his musical language increase in complexity and in quality of structure, so that it's like watching him just blossom. You know, first you see the bud, and then you just watch it grow and flourish. And it's been really, really great to watch. This is quite fascinating and quite enjoyable.
Amen. Thank you so much. And Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful romantic song. I like how he has the Spanish in here. I thought it added a nice touch to it. I really liked I Was Restless and Reckless. I just had no success. And just when I gave up, she whispered, I surrender. Really wonderful lines and very well done.
And thank you, Pam. And Naomi, please.
Yes. We're talking about Budo because I had to step away for a minute.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I love how he plays the guitar on that piece, and his dark, voice there comes through. Yeah, I just loved the whole. How he put this whole piece together, it's just superbly done. Wow, Budo, I mean, you amaze me every time with your singing and the way you just put these great songs together. Just bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, back to you.
Okay, well, Budo, I thought this was a great piece. I love the sound of it. I love the words of it. And I have this little bit of Carlos, a hint of Carlos floating through there. So, nice job. Nice work. Absolutely. The man of a thousand voices. That's what I keep telling him. Okay, Naomi. Well, look, I'm glad you're back. I'm going to put this in, and we're going to play this one.
Oh, that's not. So the one, oh, yeah, that's the one I have up tonight. Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So here we go.
Yeah.
Not your clown. Glistening gems grown from feastly blue blush, honeyed by green glow glee. scalloped, too cold, icy, sad, and square, sculptured, sibylline, a solid bronze. Damn soul still, embroidered, enameled, engraved in all. With carnivorous crocheted caresses, the net at night consumed the day, setting the sun on steaming fire, scorched, burned with feisty fervor, clawing with flowered, fiery fingers, crackling in crimson desire of chaotic crescendos. The shy sky burst into blushes of peach and apricot dreams, seething sinfully in silence sweet, as the clouds curled and cringed upon cottony chiffon silky sheets, trying to escape the enamored explosive embrace. And blissfully bewitched, the crisp, crystal clear of the moist mosaic hooted in a hardened hydrus, as the moon wickedly winked and whispered to the sun, "I'm offering you the night, hon." The sun shrugged and slyly slung, "I'll find somebody else. You don't you worry. Someone who won't take me for no easy corkscrew clown." And all heard her jiggling gelatinous giggles as she slowly slid herself oh so smoothly, singing seductively, "A yonder the horizon."
Wow. I'll tell you what, Kel. Kel. Naomi. This is almost, to me, a poet's poem. I mean, it's fairly, first of all, it has a great storyline. I love the personification. It's filled with wordplay and alliteration to delight the reader. I was very, very impressed by this piece. Great job on this. And Pam, can we start with you? Yes,
absolutely.
Pam,
yeah, I really like this. First of all, it has wonderful alliteration and imagery. I really like the shy sky burst into blushes of peach and apricot dreams, seething sinfully in silence sweet. You know, I like how there's this interaction between the sun and the sky and the land, and how the sun speaks. The sun shrugged and slyly slung, "Hump, I'll find someone else. Don't worry, someone you won't take me for no easy corkscrew clown." The banter with, I shouldn't say banter, but the very much, the back and forth, how this is a seductive rite, and then it's a very and personification of the natural elements. I thought she did an excellent job. We did an excellent job with this, Naomi, and it was very well done.
Thank you,
Pam. Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Thomas, please.
Well, I like the way that she starts with assonance and the consonants, and like Pam said, a lot of strong alliteration in the beginning. It's almost abstract quality in the way the words open up in that first verse. But I like the way that she slowly but surely draws us in, catches us with clever imagery, seduces the reader as much as she provides sensuality. so that when she finally gives us the personification by the fourth verse of the sun speaking to what it's about, we are ready for the adventure. We are ready both to give the sly chuckle, to agree, to nod in agreement, and to find ourselves utterly delighted. So in the very end, when she goes, and all heard her jiggling gelatinous giggles as she slowly slid herself, oh, so smoothly, singing seductively, a yonder the horizon, we are ready to applaud the ending. Because it is a great and luscious sunset that she has given us. This is wonderful. Just truly wonderful.
Thank you, Tom.
Laurent? Unmute.
You're darn right I was on mute. Tell, please.
Did you say Kel?
I did.
Oh, good. I have something, and then okay. Naomi, you are a delightful force of nature, and so is this poem. Absolutely fantastic wordplay. Your descriptions of the sun and the moon and the earth and everything are just really fantastic, very almost mythical, just very beautiful, very, very beautiful.
Thank you, Cal. And I have to add that it takes quite a bit of skill to pull off a poem like this convincingly, because it doesn't give too much of a clue initially in the first two stanzas about what's going to happen. I was simply admiring the verbal quality of this piece, the carnivorous crocheted caresses, the netted night, and scorched she burned with feisty fervor, clawing with flowered fiery fingers. It really rolls off the tongue quite trippingly. Really well done, Naomi. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Cal. Back to you, Jean.
Thank you.
Naomi, I thought this was
First,
I think this was a great it was a great piece, Naomi. Very well done. Very well read. The audio was spot on. And yeah, it had that the music in the background almost gave it a little noir feel. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was nicely done. Good work.
Thank you, Jean.
Okay. And Cal, I have the next piece up for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Deep Sleep Dream by Cal Smiles. Nocturnal slumber, perchance to dream of ethereal things, life of color, on screens behind eyes, sun-dappled pathways, visionary quest into unknown summits are visible in dreams passage, questing unlimited heights. Clouds roll in, darkness falls, thunder booms, lightning strikes the stranger pause. At a breathing glimpse, a lure of sunlight chase. Shadows quickly replace, pins pricking tender neck, invisible foes feel intent, crab crawl, handshakes, feet can't run for fear, horned thistles, brambles, thorny tensions, ambles, scramble into thickets, honeysuckle vines snatch, owl or wolf, mouth wide, breathless, scream caught by throat, sun streams, window pane, woken from a dream turned, alarm blares, hoots, howls, sweat drenched, I growled, and home.
Oh, I love that ending. Well done, Kel. Written to a contest, the fear of what you cannot see. And then don't you bring it out so well in this particular piece. Let us start with Naomi, please.
Yeah, I just love the language throughout this. Wow. Life of color on screens behind eyes. That is an amazing line there. And all throughout this, this is just hauntingly deep and powerful and dark. And, yeah, it just growls and screams at you. And, yeah, it just drives shivers up and down your back. And, the language you use is just wonderfully worded, this piece, Kel. Just wow. Wow, wow, wow. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Thomas, please.
This is sort of all the things that anxiety, PTSD, all that stuff strikes you with, because it's the language of the fear, the darkness, without having anything tangible to wrap your hands around. Instead, you feel torn, and the torture and the fear and your own anger in response, without being able to directly point to it and grab it and go, there it is. And because of that, it haunts, and it haunts beautifully. Very well done, Kel.
Thank you, Thomas. Nice comment. Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful dark write. I really like how you keep that tone of fear all the way through. And then at the end, you give it that twist with it being a nightmare, but you then begin alarms, blares, hoots, howls, sweat-drenched, I growl. It's almost like the idea that the fear that was a nightmare dream became a reality upon awakening. And I particularly like the stanza, the shadows quickly replaced in pricking tender neck, invisible foe, steel intent. A wonderful write and very well done, Kel.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, I've got to agree. The ending, I thought, was like the entire poem was so well realized, because you do sometimes wake up in a dream so gripped by it that you can't tell the dream from reality for a moment, perhaps. So that was very, very skillful. Bravo. And back to Jean.
Everything's back to Jean. I thought it was a great take on that prompt, Kel, and a well-expressed dark piece. Nicely done. Nicely done. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thanks.
Okay, Laurent, next one up is for you.
All right, give me just a half a second here to press.
Time is up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're a hard taskmistress, you are.
Right.
This is called Acts of Love. Summer slipped into a fell autumn, a withering of dreams cloaked in colors running to brown, a dead brown, curled and brittle, tumbled to dust by the iron breath of approaching winter. The winding path that ran along the cemetery stream revealed no evidence of travel or its habitual maintenance. Thickly littered with autumnal debris, natural beauty wore a forlorn face. Love had walked this nascent path, well cared for by the mottled skin of her hands, greenwise with age. She drew from her vision of Eden an enchantment of flowers. Wonderful riot of color graced her footpath, emotional corridor for a meditative stroll. Elephant ears listened. Canna spread showy flowers. Swamp milkweed posed in pink. Japanese iris spilled twilight's purple. Now, she came no more. Her vitality stolen by the death of David. Gentle man of strength and laughter for 45 years. Lover and husband. He was her heir as she faded. Breathless, pallid victim of the microscopic. In the space of a few sunrises, heavy night had fallen, bereft of any future dawn. Death, carried by a lover's kiss, a friend's hand clasp, farewell hug, or shared space. A plague on all our houses. Acts of love. Carrying poison. End poem.
Well done, Laurent. Well done. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I think this is just a powerful write. I like the way that you describe how death comes along. And the acts of love, the simple hug, the kiss, the touch, the breathing in the same air, can all become, you know, carry the poison. You know, this is just like, you know, as you say, it's a strong right about, you know, why it's important to get vaccinated. I really like the winding path that ran along the cemetery stream revealed no evidence of travel or its habitual maintenance, thickly littered with autumnal debris. Natural beauty wore a forlorn face. And I really like where you put that natural beauty wore a forlorn face, almost as if the whole idea of nature itself grieving. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thanks, Pam. And Thomas, how about you?
Well, I like how he shows the way, in a sense, that love weaves us together and that the loss of one is sometimes the loss of something greater than both. And so it takes both with it. The old line about the fact that a broken heart is an actual fact. I mean, I love that. Now she came no more, her vitality stolen by the death of David, gentleman of strength and laughter for 45 years. You know, it just, that captures so much in just that one quick verse. And, you know, one of my grandfathers went on for quite a few years after his wife died. But he was ready for it, and he knew it was coming, and they had time to prepare and make their own peace. And that's different than when somebody's ripped from you by something like a disease like COVID, or an unexpected car accident. It leaves you feeling completely deserted, and I think people forget just how strikingly hard that is to deal with. And this just so gently and with a certain softness and a certain grace speaks to all of that and more. And that is really nicely done. That's magical. Very good job, Ron. Very good job.
Thank you, Thomas. Much appreciation.
Nice comment, Thomas. Naomi, how about you, hon?
Yeah, I love how you approach the subject. I see you wrote COVID in your AN there. I love how you approach this poem and set the mood with that first stanza that is so sublimely worded, like, oh my gracious, summer has slipped into a fell autumn, a withering of dreams cloaked in colors, running to brown, a dead brown, curled and brittle, tumbled to dust by the iron breath of approaching winter. Oh, that just sets the mood, and that is just so beautifully worded, as is the rest of this poem. And, yeah, you know, get out there and get vaccinated for the love of God, you know, just, and you're the love of the, that you have for your loved ones. Just get out there and get vaccinated. This is such a wonderful, wonderful worded poem here, Laha. Just a brilliant write.
Thank you, Naomi.
Absolutely. Okay, and Kel, that brings me to you.
Well, this was a totally captivating write all the way through, Laurent. Whether it was about COVID or not, it doesn't really matter, because this woman could have died from heartbreak just as easily as she did from the disease. But it's just very beautifully done. Absolutely beautiful. I love the phrasing, the images were just fantastic.
Thank you, Kel.
Well, Lauren, I think this was an excellent piece. I think it was touching and very well done, and expressive. And I think the points within the poem were very well made. So excellent job. And everybody should listen up a little bit to this. And maybe the late people will see it.
No. Okay. Get vaccinated, goddammit.
This brings me to Pam.
I agree.
I'll get boosted.
Whenever.
All right. I think. Hold on. Okay. Let me get to where I need to be. All right. This is Ode to a Poem That Demands to Be Free. And it goes like this. Dear words jumbled together in my mind. You sing like a tea kettle of Freddie Mercury notes and dance the choreography of a Lady Gaga video. I have my doubts about your purpose and your beauty. I have my doubts about sharing you. But in you, dearest poem, there is no doubt. There is no fear. You are confident and tenacious, a living diva poised to take center stage beneath the hot glow of lights. I tried to reason with you, to tell you to quiet down. After all, no one likes a braggart. But you are persistent, insisting that you are the voice of a generation, that you will be heard like the first reading of Ginsberg's Howl. I laugh and chide you. Who do you think you are? But to be honest, words that yield a sword vibrating, a battle cry of a Celtic warrior, poem that doesn't give a damn about what anyone else thinks. I am envious of you. I want to be like you, unafraid to climb out of my own skin. You demand to see the light of day, and so I lead you to the sky and, like Daedalus, remind you not to fly too close to the sun. You chortle in gleeful abandonment, saying, if people will not see my solar flare, they will see my burnt parchment falling upon them. They will taste me bittersweet in the long exhaled breath of a poet's ink. Dearest poem that knows it is meant to be even before I do, I admire the way you break the chains I wrap you in. I marvel at your berserker desire to taste freedom, walking gloriously through a valley of ashes and mountains of crushed glass. Dear poem, you are but one more part of myself revealed. I have my doubts, but you smile, showing your bright row of sharp teeth, and move boldly forward with a Mae West roll of the hips. End poem.
As ever, Pam, you never cease to amaze. You pull this stuff out of, I don't know, thin air. I mean, I'll say, wow. And you personify yourself, because this is you speaking at one remove, drawing back the curtains on a poet who speaks ex cathedra, words from the soul that is behind the words. Just absolutely clever, skillful, wonderfully, wonderfully read. And I love the Mae West roll of the hips. That gives us a little bit of the sense of who you really are. Wonderful job. Wonderful job.
Thank you, Lord.
Thomas, please.
This is fun because to hear somebody sing a laud to their own creativity and allow it to themselves to step back and step away from it and speak to it as a resource and as a active, almost in this case, Amazon, you know, this warrior woman who wraps itself in language and proceeds to demonstrate that it can take on the universe with no problem. Just give me a chance to lay myself down on the page and I'll show you all how it's supposed to be. That has a vibrant aliveness to it that it would be wonderful to hear everyone write from their poetry from such a space.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. And Cal, please.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, Pamela. This is fantastic writing. I love the images and the star persona you use to describe your muse who refuses to be quiet. Brilliant.
Thank you,
oh, Lady Gaga and Mae West and Freddie Mercury. Oh, my good grief. Yes, this is fantastic. Delightful piece,
fantastic.
Very much so. I am very enthusiastic. This is beautiful.
Thank you, Cal. And Naomi.
Oh, I so agree with Cal. This is amazing. The way you're there speaking to this poem, like I try to reason you, to tell you to quiet down. And then it talks back to you, you know. They will taste me bittersweet in the long exhaled breath of a poet's ink. And then you talk back and forth. This is so brilliantly written and so clever. I mean, just pops off the page and just a charm to hear you read that. That's just an amazing, amazing right, Pam. I just, I was delighted with it. It's just amazing writing.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. And, you know, I was searching for what I wanted to quote, but it was so damn good that I was unsure. But you know what? I'm going to go with, you demand to see the light of day, and so I lead you to the sky. And like Daedalus, remind you not to fly too close to the sun. You chortle in gleeful abandonment, saying, if people will not see my solar flare, they will see my burnt parchment falling upon them. Just, it's world-class stuff, I'm telling you, Pam. World-class. And Jean, please.
Unmute.
That would be it. That would be exactly where I was. It was wonderful work, Pam. Well-faceted piece. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, and Laurent was absolutely dead on. You never cease to amaze. So excellent work, and thanks for sharing that with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to welcome Sawa to the show. And
oh, hi, Sawa. Hello, everyone.
Sawa.
And I agree with everyone. It's truly amazing. Such an, like, brilliant idea. Dear poem, it's just incredible how you put, I think, all these thoughts that come to the mind. I laugh and chide you, who do you think you are? But to be honest, word that tells the sword, vibrating a battle cry of Celtic warrior. I mean, every line, I agree with Laurent, every line is just fabulous, marvelous piece, truly. I love it. It should be in the front page, so I'm going to recommend it. If I'm not banned
Okay. Nice. Nice comment, Bella.
Yeah.
And Thomas, that's going to be here.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
It's a hard act to follow, you know that.
But follow if you will.
Yeah, I got no choice. I'm dragged, kicking and screaming to the forefront. Catching up. Crawled out of the covers. Expected snow. Got misty rain and fog. Lay in tatters across the lake. The dog was ready. The rain stopped on cue. I feel the gravel push against the sole of my feet. Ashen reeds, pale ghosts against the brown leaves. Glistening with rain. She stopped at the top of the slope, a silhouette against the clouds. We were ghosts in the valley, walked through banks of fog that drifted across the dam. I hope she waited. She laughed with recognition as we materialized out of the fog. Hear her voice, a trilling harp, weaving around the waking geese and ducks who wait for the sun to burn away the fog, take flight. When we joined her, she pointed down to the lake. The geese gathered, a cacophony of honking, began to race and lift off, broke through curtains of fog as they formed a V, white light, the morning sun climbed above the hill, shrouded in clouds. Her arms, twined with mine, and the hatted head pressed against me. The dog pulled on the leash. My love rose to tiptoes and kissed me on the chin. I began to disappear into a sunny fog, let my arms encircle her, and the dog raced about us, tied us tightly, one against the other, stumbling, trying to stand. We found silence in a kiss and a heartbeat. Later, as the last shreds of morning lingered by the front door, she let me know it was good I had caught up with her. It was better together than to walk alone. I held on, aware, lingering scents of cinnamon, nutmeg, and fall. End poem.
Nice.
Well, bravo, Thomas. You followed admirably, let me say. No calm down at all. I love the atmospherics and this catching up. You set the mood so well. The snow expected, but instead misty rain and fog laying in tatters across the lake. The dog was ready. Where would we be without dogs who have to go to the bathroom?
Who knows?
But the rain stopped on cue. I love the way you give us the sense of the gravel pushing against the sole of the shoes, and the ashen reeds, pale ghosts against the brown leaves glistening with rain. And then you introduce another character. She stopped at the top of the slope, a silhouette against the clouds. And from there you tell the story of two walking together, much better than one. Yet you continue in wonderful descriptions, the geese gathering, a cacophony of honking, breaking through curtains of fog as they formed a V, and then the arms entwined, the dog pulling on a leash, and the whole thing really works well. And this is to me, it's a wonderful tribute to your wife. Well done.
Definitely is.
Well done. Naomi, Selwa, could you start us off, please?
What I'm going to say after your comments, Loha. This is really
anything you want.
Really amazing. I loved this feeling of how you took us, the nature and the intimacy and the dog, how it's affecting. So as you said, it started with crawled out of the cover, expected snow, got mist, just starting your day, and then take us into the squawk where you see the silhouette, and she joined, when we joined her, she pointed down the lake, the geese. Very spiritual too, and show absolutely the love, how I love her arm twined with mine and heat pressed against me. It's you write so beautifully about your love for wife or my love. Rose to the top and kissed me on the chin. I began to disappear in a sunny frog. I think there is even not disappear. It's metaphoric how much you in love, and the effect on love in you. You just disappear in the fog. I love the idea. Incredibly beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
And tell, please.
I agree with Laurent and Fawa. This is absolutely an amazing story from beginning to end. Your references to nature and everything is just brilliant. But I really love the bit about the dog pulling on the leash and racing about him and having him getting stuck together. That's just really funny. But it's a very delightful, heartfelt, glorious piece. I really, really, truly enjoyed this. Beautiful, Tom.
Nice comment, Cal. Laurent, are you there?
Yeah, I just couldn't get off mute. I must have tapped the damn thing 3 times and it just looked at me. Naomi, please.
Yeah, I agree with everyone. This is such a brilliant write here, Tom. Your imagery throughout is just to die for. And the emotion that comes out of this piece, just heart-wrenching. And, the whole tale is just captivating in every word. Just so, so beautifully written, Tom. Bravo.
Thank you, Cal. Naomi, excuse me.
Naomi.
Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I liked how it was about love and romance, but it had an edge of reality to it, like the idea that you wake up and you have to consider the weather when going for a walk. And I like how there was that metaphor within it of how, you know, life is walked better together when you're arm in arm, you're holding on to each other, supporting each other. And I like how you bring in the scents, like the cinnamon and the nutmeg and the smells of fall. There's just, to me, like I said, a real sense of reality within this, and the idea that you take care of each other, you take care of nature, you take care of your pets, and life is all about supporting each other, and that's what love is about, too. This is beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi?
I already commented.
That's what I thought. Kel, please. Did Kel comment?
She did, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. We added Salwa, and it confused me completely. Back to
no,
you,
I did
Jean.
Comment, too.
You're showing your age.
I am. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, old bean.
Yeah, I can see. At 71, I can say these things.
All right. Yes, you have permission.
There you go. Okay. Well, Tom, I thought this was a great piece. I really did. I love the details. It was great imagery and well penned and emotive. And I love that closing stanza. And it's the flavoring sense of cinnamon, nutmeg, and fall. That just wraps it all up together. It was just great. So, very well done. And thanks for sharing that one with us, as always. Now, the thing I have to put up is... And let me find that button. Okay.
A tincture of tangerine rays of the sun cast a reflection upon the liquid ripples of the gentle currents of the river, the canvas of engraved image to a mosaic of nature, a testimony of the days when autumn was full of serenity. Fallen leaves serenaded by the wind danced to the notes of a violin, as they turn to a symphony of rubies glistening in the dew, and the nightingales glide beneath cotton clouds of the periwinkle sky, after the sobbing night has mourned the dormant silence of their singing. The leaves wrinkle into a crispy and curly fold of serrated regret. The crystal tears of the trees reach the splinter balls adjacent, touched by the sadness of the flowered petals lying on the edge, a token of the golden memories once cherished by two lovers. A spirit watches through the eyelids of the walls of the tower as I return to the bridge where we laughed and smiled all day, with a fine glass of bubbling wine and a box of delicious chocolates sprinkled with almonds and rum to sweeten our awakened taste buds. Now, I am alone in this solitary bridge, waiting for her ghost, holding on to the satin and silk garments of her evening dress, hoping that the soothing days of autumn never go away again, and she shines to me her angelic luminosity with the morning sun. There is a harmony in autumn and a luster in its sky, which through the summer is not heard or seen as if it could not be, as if it had not been there before. But I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. Oh, I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. In the poem.
Nice job,
Frank. Well done. Well done, Frank. This seems to be a poem, an ode almost to nature, almost personification, well described, and yet it's also, I think, about a love, lost time, perhaps experienced in the fall of the year, but now gone and remembered with the same kind of reverence and love that autumn itself is described as. It's a beautifully done poem. I like every stanza, but to me, the leaves wrinkle into a crispy, curly fold of serrated regret. The crystal tears of the trees reach the splintered boughs adjacent and down to the rest of it. I don't want to quote too much, but an admirable work. Really, really like this. Now, let me take it from the top so I don't make any mistakes. Pam, please.
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how it's a dark rite about, you know, missed love because of death, but it's so subtle because there's such wonderful, it has a very classic feel to it, a nice flow. He uses nature imagery beautifully, as you mentioned. And I like how this takes on a more romantic a tone and a dark tone, but in such a gentle, subtle way, as you just really are focused more on how this guy walks and through the woods and over the bridge and how he ponders missing the woman he loved. Yeah, and so really just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam. And Kel, please.
Well, this was written through a prompt. There is a harmony in autumn and a luster in its sky, which through the summer is not heard or seen, as it could not be, as if it had not been. Percy Shelley. This is just an absolutely glorious tribute to autumn. And I think that I like the, oh, good God, I'm getting tongue-tied. A spirit watches through the eyelets of the walls of the tower, and I return to the bridge where we laughed and smiled all day with a fine glass of bubbling wine. But there is also the heartache in it for a lost love. But autumn can feel that way, too. It's, you know, right between summer and winter, two of our harshest seasons. And autumn is a time of, in a way, it's a time of death, if you want to think about it, because of the leaves and everything dying and leaving the landscape almost barren. So this is just a really beautiful, beautiful ode to autumn and his lost love. It's gorgeous.
It is. Thank you for that great comment. We only have a few minutes left, and I got a feeling that Gene would like to get one more in. So the rest of you, please leave your comments in writing to Frank on his great poem. And Gene, back to you.
Okay. Well, Frank, this was a great poem, and I really enjoyed it very much. Beautifully written. And I love the use of color throughout. And there's just so many different points that we could all make. But I wanted to at least say great job. And the last piece I have for tonight is by Zawa.
Oh, thank you.
So let me hit that button.
A last poem, Sirahaka. How I miss the dancing of melting snowflakes between my fingers and the tender sound echoing the air. Comme ça me manque la danse de flocons de neige qui fondent entre mes doigts et leur tendre son résonnant dans l'air. End of poem.
What an entrancing brevity, Zawa. Now, can you do me a favor and pronounce for me the word at the top, please, the title?
Sararuk. I think Sararuk. It's a Korean word, but it sounds like French.
Yes, it does a little. It describes the sound and the motion of snowflakes slowly melting. Well, you wrote a fantastic brevity to this. How I miss the dancing of melting snowflakes between my fingers. That's something that we've all experienced. And their tender sound echoing in the air. I've got to say that is a hard-to-hear music, but the fact that there's a word that describes it, I think you did a great job with that. Thomas, could you comment, please?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. There's a magic here because it's the dancing of melting snowflakes between my fingers. So we're grasping onto these little bits of nothing of crystallized joy in the air and their tender sound echoing in the air. You make each one have a life, each one have a magic. Great piece of brevity.
Thank you so much.
And Pam, please.
I really like the tenderness in this brevity and how it focuses on the word itself, but how it focuses also on the whole idea of just missing anything or anyone. So just really a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, please.
Oh, this is such a beautiful write here, Salwa. I'm such a fan of yours. You're the person you are and the way you write every time just gets me. Just thank you. Thank you for being you and for writing like you write. Thanks so much.
I'm humbled coming from a poet just like you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Kel, please.
I never considered that snow had a sound or that there's a name for it. Regardless, your poem is lovely and tenderly inspiring. And as usual, your love of nature just absolutely flows all the way through it. Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Jean. Appreciate it.
And that brings us back to Jean.
Well, I think that your words in is a delicate brevity. And I think your words of the brevity are just, they're just as delicate as the dancing snowflake, if that makes sense. I don't know if I said it exactly right.
Yeah, it makes sense. I appreciate it. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. It really does. I mean, the snowflakes falling and you know, you can envision that, and your words fall just as softly as they do. So I think that's, you know, as always, it's a wonderful thing. And I
really
thank
love
you for bringing that.
Thank you. I'm sure everyone loves the feeling of the snow, right? I'm sure everyone does.
I like it as long as I don't have
to
be in it. So everyone, I want to thank you all for calling in and hanging out with us tonight. There's a lot of carryovers. So anyone who did not hear their piece tonight, just check out next Friday's board because bound to be there. I think we have like 11 carryovers, so it's pretty amazing. We had almost 30 writes. So. And also, everyone, if you are free and have some time, stop in and see Faziana and Babbler tonight at 12:30. I know they'd be happy to have some readers and some commenters. And and I want to thank everyone who participated, hung out. Sent us poetry, called in and read, commented, hung out on the board. Thank you, Frank, for that. And I want everyone to have a wonderful night, a great weekend, and good Lord willing, I'll see you all next Tuesday. In the meantime, Pam and Naomi will definitely be there. Yeah. So, yep, here, and thanks a lot.
Much good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, Peter's in goodbye. But you. That's you,
cool.
And you. There you go.
Awesome.